Good morning. So glad to be with you again here today. I want to take a moment and thank everyone who helped fill in why I could not be here and preach as I normally do. Appreciate the elders doing that. I guess I have to teach. I mean, you better be ready, right, Keith? And appreciate, of course, Caleb who helped out. Caleb, I love him so much, and he's doing such a good job. And also, Brother Frank Briscoe. That man's 105 years old. He's not, but he's been preaching for more than 60 years now. And Frank does a fantastic job, and we appreciate Frank so much. He was able to come down, and glad Caleb was in Hillcrest that they could make that arrangement. Fantastic. What I want to do today is, before our lunch together, I want to give us some food for thought from Scripture, which, of course, is the reason why we're here today. I want to talk about Judas for a few moments. And now, Judas is someone who I've never heard a sermon on. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of good sermons out there about Judas, but I've never heard one that I remember or never preached one, so please bear with me. But I think there are some good thoughts from Judas' life that we can apply to our own in our situation, maybe see some things that maybe help us serve God more fully or more completely. With that in mind, when we think about Judas, we may think about, for example, the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13, where it speaks, it says, "Then I said to him, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver," that may seem familiar to you. "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter." Again, you have Potter's Field, New Testament. "That princely price they set on me. So I took 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the potter." Now, we may also think, for example, of Psalm 41, verse 9. It says, "Even my own familiar friend whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Now, in Psalm 41, this seems like a primary reference to Ahithophel, who betrayed David, but also it looks like it fits Judas very well. Then we have this idea of the 30 pieces of silver. What was 30 pieces of silver? Well, as most of you know, it was a price paid for an injured slave. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, the scripture says, "If an ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give him the master, that is, 30 pieces of silver, and the ox shall be stoned." Now, this fits Jesus because he was a servant of the Most High who was injured by the fact he was nailed to the cross, of course, by men. So this also fits the idea of Jesus and Judas a bit. Now, when it comes to Judas, though, I want you to think about Judas for a few moments with me. And first of all, Judas was a very common name. Besides being one of the 12 apostles, it's used seven other times in gospel accounts and the book of Acts. Seven times. There are seven other people named Judas in the Bible. Can you name them? Because I couldn't. In fact, I looked up in some of the software I have, some of the books I have in my library. And I saw them and go, "Oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one. Oh, was he named Judas too?" But there are seven others named Judas in the Bible besides the one we think of, Judas Iscariot. It was a very common name. We'll come back to that in just a second. Judas also was a man of the tribe of Judah. Now, the name Iscariot looks like it means of carry-off. Hope you can see this behind me. Yeah. It means of Kerioth, which was a town to the south. It was not in Galilee. It was a town to the south of Judah. And if this name, of course, Iscariot, is descriptive of the town Kerioth, which it seems to be. I say that because in the Greek language, Iscariot also refers to the idea of being an assassin. So that idea of Iscariot meaning assassin means, well, they ascribed this Greek word to him after he betrayed Jesus. But it appears that it refers to where he was from, like many of the names in the Bible. It's tied to where you're from or a trait they have, okay? And so Being of someone of Judah in the south, though, he was not someone who was of Galilee. Now, that makes Judas, are you with me? This makes Judas a bit of an outsider. He wasn't one of the boys. He wasn't one of the fishermen. He was something different. He was someplace different. So at this point, Judas is someone who's not from where they were from. Not really. He was from the greater area, but not someone who they would meet day to day. Someone from the south. So he was not one of the inner ones. Also, Judas cast out demons. How about that? Remember, we know all the 12 did. When Jesus called them together, Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, he says, when he called his 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Judas did a lot of good. I think we often miss that because of the things we saw before, how he betrayed Jesus. He sold him for the price of a slave to his captors. But this man, who often called the son of perdition, was someone who served God faithfully for a long time. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And what happened to him exactly? How could he go from casting out demons from the power of God to then having enough greed in his heart? He would sell the Son of God. And this, Judas knew the power of God. Judas was doing things by the power of God that no other people could do, except the other apostles. He cast out demons. He saw what he could do by the power of God through Jesus Christ. He was doing it. He saw the power. He felt the power. He saw the difference Jesus made in people's lives. Yet, he still would betray him. This tells us, number one, that Jesus was doing many great and powerful things, far more than you or I will ever do. And yet, even then, something happened to him. Made me think of Matthew 7:21-23, at least in my mind, where Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done many wonderful works? Judas had. But then Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Now, if we look at the scripture, we think, well, there's someone in the last day that will claim they did things that they didn't do, maybe. Because they're going to claim to cast out demons, and Jesus says, I never knew you, which means how could they have the power to cast demons unless they were given it by God? So these are people that are self-deluded. There are people, you see, that will one day come before God in judgment who are self-deluded, that they think they did many great things that never did. It's all a sham. It's all a lie. To many people, religion is a show to put on. Not a life to be lived, but a show to be enjoyed or had. But Judas, for a long time, it was real. He walked with Jesus. He followed Jesus. We think of the other disciples that they lived family. They lived property to follow Jesus. In fact, Peter asked at one point, hey, What are we going to give for following you, Jesus? We give up houses and lands. And so Jesus says, well, you'll be rewarded. Jesus never claims that Peter didn't give up anything. He simply says to Peter, when Peter says that, listen, to you who have left houses and lands, you'll be rewarded. In fact, he says you'll get back 100-fold. So Judas, if he was like the others, and he would have been, we think of Peter, James, and John, who left their family business of fishing. What did Judas leave behind? No idea. Matthew left behind his job as a tax collector, for example. Did Judas leave a family behind? Mother, father? Did he leave a profession behind? He did of some kind. So whatever he left to follow Jesus, remember, you can follow Jesus, be on the road for 3 years and still keep a job, like a normal job. So whatever it was, Judas left something to follow Jesus. What was it? I don't know. The scripture never tells us. But to think of what we are today, how many people for the cause of Christ would leave their families, leave their job, leave their property, leave their land to follow Jesus? So if you would, if we put ourselves to the same test. Yet this man who betrayed Jesus did that. This should tell us that when it comes to following God, it is a daily decision to follow Jesus. Amen? We decide every day if we're going to follow Jesus. It's not like I decided 10 years ago when I was baptized or went to a church meeting that I'm with Jesus now. Great! But are you still with him? Hope you are. But look at Judas and make this point in your own mind. That decision needs to be reaffirmed constantly. I followed Jesus last week. Am I going to follow Jesus this week? I followed Jesus in the morning. Am I going to follow Jesus now in the evening of the same day? How often have you done things in your own mind deeply disappointed you? Right after you've been following Jesus just fine. Think of Judas and how that can happen. Now, Judas also handled the money for the group. Now, think about this for just a moment. We think the people here who've been treasurers for the church here, of course, Barry is currently does a fine job from that. Why is Barry the treasurer? Because no one trusts Barry, that's why. Because Barry is untrustworthy and he's a scoundrel, that's why. Because he would just spit on you and look at you. That's wrong. Why do you have someone be a treasure? Because you trust them. Because you trust them, because they're trustworthy, because they're someone you can count on. That's why you let them handle the money. Now keep in mind that Judas was not even the first logical choice. Matthew was an accountant. And even though Matthew was an accountant, who is trusted with the money bag? Judas. There's no hint at all, not before the very end, that Judas had a problem with money. Not one. There was no issue at all. The apostles trusted Judas with the money because he was trustworthy. He was a stand-up man. Is the point I'm making here. Otherwise, we wouldn't trust him at all with the money. It just wouldn't make sense. Judas was a trusted person of the group. Judas, although he was an outsider of the group, being from a different place, he was still one who was seen as upright and worthy of the honor and the job. Because being trusted with the money is not just an honor, it is a burden to his trust with that purpose, and he was. Now, we see in John 12 that Judas liked being the treasurer. In fact, he was someone who use the money himself when it may be a way you shouldn't look at John 12, verse 5 and 6, if you have a Bible, or just look at the screen behind me. He says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Speaking of the money that Mary poured on Jesus' feet. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. So he was someone who stole from the treasury. Again, no hint that anybody else knew this. John records it later by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but no one knew. If they knew, no one said anything, which seems odd. If there was a thief in the midst and they knew it early on, they would have surely not had any part of the apostles. Now, the name Judas, think about this. The name Judas comes from the word yada, which means to praise. Presumably to praise God. Now, think in your minds of people who had their names changed in the Bible times. Abram to Abraham. Sarai to Sarah. And even the fact that names meant something in the time of Bible times. Now, in our time, we name people because of family names. That kind of is what they did to some degree. But all our kids are named because of family names that my wife and I have. Well, most. I mean, Caleb James is named for James. David Anthony is named for family names, both of my name, middle name, David, and also Anthony was a family name of my grandmother. And Rachel Marie is named for Dinah Marie. The only one that struck out there was Zachary. We couldn't quite agree on a name for Zachary, so we just picked one. We thought the name sounded good. Now, that idea of sounding good is often what we do today. We pick a name we like that sounds good for our kids. Might be tied to family, might not be, but that's what we do. That's how we pick names. But in Jesus' time, names meant something. Jesus, in fact, is the word that means Savior. It's a Greek version of the name Joshua, which also means Savior or Deliverer from the Old Testament. They mean stuff. So when the family of Judas, named him Yada, or praise, this indicates by its own self that they would have had some high hopes for him. They would have thought, listen, we want our boy to be a sign or a signal to praise God. We want him to be a praise to God. We want to name our boy Judas. Remember that Judas was from the same tribe of Jesus Christ. Of course, when Judas was born, they didn't know that, right? They would have known that Scripture says he would come from Judas, so maybe that was in their mind's eye. But they had high hopes for him. They had these very high hopes for their son that he would bring praise to Jehovah and maybe cause others to praise God. Do you think that they thought that their son would betray the Messiah, whom they had looked for generation upon generation upon generation? No way. Just like our family sometimes have high hopes for us. You ever feel like you let them down? Has there ever been a time in your life where you feel like I let down people that loved me and trusted me? Now, maybe your parents aren't really religious, so it has to do with secular things, but have you ever felt like you let down people who love God or who are Christians? I have. Hurts pretty bad. When you realize these people have trusted me and I let them down. Now, likewise, I've been let down by people who claim to Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they follow him, and I'm like, yeah, not to me, it doesn't look like that. That happens to everybody. But when you think about this son of perdition that betrayed Jesus, think about how his mom and daddy would have looked at him. That they would have seen him as someone who would cause people to praise God. This is a powerful thought there, and also a very good lesson that we can often do better and think about how others think that we can serve God, we can do better. Now again, we talked about this just a moment ago, but Judas would have quit his job to follow Jesus. He would have left behind the things he knew to follow Jesus. Was it land? Was it family? We don't know. We know he would have left his job, whatever that job was. Maybe he had a job that reflected his ability to take care of money. We don't know that, of course. We knew Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was an accountant. But Judas, we don't know. Maybe he was. Whatever it was, he left it to follow Jesus. His life was interrupted to follow Jesus. His life was not to be clung on to follow the Master. So he started well. Judas' life, when it comes to Christ, started well. He followed the right person. He had the right motive at first, at least he had to, because otherwise he wouldn't be called. So he gave up something to follow Jesus. Many times in our day and time, when it comes to counting the cost of following Jesus, many of us, or many at least have, said, I'll go to church, I will be baptized into Christ, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to give up bad hobbies. I'm not going to give up bad ideas. I'm not going to give up bad practices. I'm just going to go ahead and do my thing while kind of being a Christian. I want one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and it doesn't work that way very well. Eventually, we'd be pulled apart having one foot in both places. But Judas started out by leaving things behind to follow Jesus. They all did. Now, when it comes to Judas in the end, his greed got him. So while he initially left the world behind to follow Jesus, eventually those things crept back in Judas' life for whatever reason. It's a great lesson for you and me. That we can decide to leave things behind to follow Jesus, but yet at some point we feel old, familiar tugs to come back into the world or come back to things we once knew, and things we left behind look better and better and better. See, this is not an accident. This is what the devil does to us. Whether by anger or hate or desire, we're pulled back into things sometimes we left behind and can be overcome by them. Now, Judas, for most of the time he was with Jesus, was faithful and good. But we're given hints here and there that things are starting to change, like we looked at John a while ago. John says that Judas was a thief and he liked to have the money bag because he could take from it. Sometimes I guess there are hints that our lives aren't what they should be. But the fact is, there's no indication in the apostles that other apostles ever knew. So while we can go through lives and sometimes live a life where things look great, everyone looks at their lives and say, they look great, that looks good. They're faithful, they're good, they're doing what they should do. There are signs that no one really sees that we are not where we should be. That happens a lot. But Judas gave up everything to follow Jesus. It was good for a long time. Now, at this point, understand that we're going to look at Matthew 26 in just a moment. But from everything we see in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no one, until the very end, in fact, even then, no one suspected that Judas would betray Jesus. No one saw it. No one knew it. If you would, look with me in Matthew 26, verse 23 through 25. He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." Now some will say, you see, the devil entered Judas after this occasion. The problem is, though, that before these verses, early in chapter 26, he'd already met with the chief priests to talk about betraying Jesus. It had already happened. In fact, that's why in the text it says he was betraying him. It was in process. With that in mind, after verse 25, all the apostles jumped up and said, "I knew it was you. I knew you were the one who was going to betray Jesus. I knew you were a dirty rat. You're from the south. You're not one of us Galileans. You are someone who's an outsider. You're a horrible person." No record of that. Not at all. In fact, even when this takes place, it appears as though that maybe Judas was sitting next to Jesus and simply whispered to him, "Is it me?" Because Judas knew it was him. But does Jesus know it's him? At this point, does Judas really doubt Jesus is Messiah? It seems like Judas has doubts. Otherwise, why would he do it? Remember, things aren't unfolding like they thought they would. They thought Messiah would come and be a great king who would cause them to kick the Romans out of their land and be a great military leader. They saw all the signs. They saw the miracles, the feeding the 5,000, the feeding the 4,000. They thought, surely this is Messiah. But then things aren't adding up to them. And Jesus has been telling them for some time he's going to be taken by the chief priests and murdered and killed. Taken by the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, chief priests, and killed. This doesn't make sense. How can he be the Messiah if he's going to be killed? That's not right. So maybe Judas was just trying to do the math and it didn't work out. It didn't really work out like he wanted to. So because it didn't make sense to Judas, he's going to betray Jesus. Maybe Judas thinks, listen, if Jesus is not Messiah, let's get him out of the way so we can find a good one. But because things don't work out exactly like Judas wanted, he betrays Jesus. How many times in our lives? Because things don't work out like we think they should, we blame God. Might be a health issue. Might be a family issue. Might be a truth in Scripture we can't quite swallow. Well, Jesus, I know that's what you said about worship, or that's what you said about salvation, but it's not what I think should happen. So I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to go along with it. So people are going to be lost one day because their idea of what salvation is not what God actually says. That's a shame. It's horrible. But we have the same problem. Now, I've said before, and I'll share with you again, that the fights I get into with my wife are many and they're horrible. I'm just joking about that. But no one smiled except her, so I guess y'all thought I was serious. You're not listening. But when we get in a fight, you know what it is? After 30 years, man, you were old, honey. After 30 years, we get in fights because her idea of how things should go and mine are different. It may be going to the grocery store, but her idea is she wants to go at this time and do these things and come home. And I may think, well, but I want to go at this time and get these other things and have a different plan. We could both agree about going to the store together, although she doesn't take me there very much. We could agree on that, but the fact we want to go at different times or have different goals in mind to go causes us to have a disagreement. Even though we agree on the big picture, the minor things sometimes cause friction. You ever been there, husband and wives? You think, Jim, you're crazy. It's true. The thing that causes us to have disagreements among each other, even among friends sometimes, is that I have one idea about how this should go. You have a similar but different idea in some aspect because your idea and my idea is different. Because they conflict at some point, there's trouble. Even though we agree in general about the concept. It happened with Judas and the apostles and Jesus. They thought this is an earthly king. They didn't, in fact, you look at Acts chapter 1 and 2. They didn't get the fact that the kingdom was spiritual until that time. They thought it was physical. At the cross, they left Jesus. They went fishing. In fact, Jesus came to Peter after his betrayal when they were fishing. After his resurrection, and Jesus appeared to them. And that's when that Jesus had the talk with Peter about, feed my sheep. Which brings us back around to Judas. Not to spoil the story for you, but Judas betrays Jesus and then hangs himself. Judas' betrayal of Christ is not very much different from Peter's betrayal of Christ. And they both felt sorry about it, but Peter repented. And Judas killed himself. Peter was forgiven, went on to be a great apostle of the church. Preached many great sermons, saved many, many people through the gospel of Jesus Christ and, of course, the blood of the cross. Judas was overcome with grief. He hanged himself. One thing we need to tell young people, we need to tell all people, there's always redemption. If Peter could be forgiven for denying Jesus three times, couldn't Judas have been forgiven? If he simply said, Lord, I'm sorry. Now, I want to show you one more thing. Really, two more things. I want to bring this point that Judas adds credibility to the gospel story. Now, if you're writing a gospel account or message and want to get people to follow Jesus, would you include that one of his closest followers betrayed him? If the Bible's not from God, would you enter this into your story about Jesus? Hey, Judas, this person who left his family and lands to follow Jesus and was close with him for 3 years and went out and had the power to cast out demons, things like that, heal the sick. This close friend of Jesus betrayed him. Would that add to Jesus' credibility or take away from it? The overall story is because this is included in the Bible, because this is included in the New Testament, this adds to the Bible credibility because the truth was told, all of it. In fact, Jesus tells us because some hated him, they'll also hate us. Because some betrayed him, they'll also betray us. This account is included because he wants us to know that we're going to suffer some things that we don't really feel is right. But so did Jesus. Jesus did not deserve the cross, but he received it for you and my sake. Lastly, Jesus still loved Judas. It sounds strange, but as many of us see him as a demonic person, a horrible scourge, which of course he was in the end. But up until the very end, when Judas came to betray Jesus with the chief priests, when Jesus met Judas, what did Jesus say to him? Let's look in Matthew 26, verse 48 through 50. Now his betrayer had given them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, He's the one. Seize him. Immediately, he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. Now you may say, "Well, Jim, that was sarcastic, right? Jesus was being sarcastic. He had to have not considered him a friend at this point." Now Jesus knew the future, most of it anyway. Now that doesn't mean he caused the future, but he knew the future. To foreknow something is not to predestine that thing, meaning I can know the future without causing it. We use the example of someone in a helicopter flying high above the street. And someone in a helicopter can see one car coming at high speed from one street angle and another going at a crossroad. And the person in the helicopter knows these cars are going to hit each other. But because he foreknows it, does he cause it? No, he does not. The person in the helicopter having a high viewpoint does not cause car A to hit car B, even though he can see it's going to happen. He doesn't cause it. Now, when it comes to Judas, he's a friend of Jesus. Jesus has spent a lot of time with this man. And Jesus knows also that Judas is going to go out and kill himself over the grief that he's going to feel by betraying Jesus. He loves him. He calls him friend. And again, in this scripture, no hint of sarcasm. Nowhere in this interaction is a hint of sarcasm, but we think, how can that be exactly? How can it be that there would be no hint of sarcasm there? How's that possible? Because we're not Jesus, that's why. Remember what Paul said about Jesus? We'll look for just a second. We're almost there. Man, love to hear kids crying. It's fantastic. Better than y'all snoring, by the way. Now, when it comes to Judas, if God can love him, and God can call him friend even in the midst of all these things, this is the very last idea. If God loves him and would have forgiven him as he did Peter, what have you done that keeps God from forgiving you? The only thing that kept God from forgiving Judas is the fact Judas killed himself first. If Judas had come to Jesus and said, "Please forgive me," it would have been so. Just like those that helped crucify Jesus in Acts 2, when they were told, "You killed Jesus," they said, "What shall we do?" They repented. Remember what Peter said? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins." And they did, and they were forgiven that day some 3,000 souls. He says in the sermon, "You killed Jesus." Remember, how did 3,000 people kill Jesus or more? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, and they were given the option by Pilate to let Jesus go or let Barsabbas go, they said, "Give us Barsabbas, but let Jesus' blood be in our hands and our children's hands." Wow. So they were given the choice by Pilate. "Who do you want me to let free, Jesus or this criminal Barsabbas?" They said, "Give us Barsabbas." So it was their choice. Yeah, the chief priest may have taken him into custody, but what Pilate says, "It's your choice, Israel. It's your choice, Jews." And if they could be forgiven on Pentecost, so could have Judas.
What keeps you from following Jesus if you've not made the decision? Maybe you're here today and you've followed Jesus for many years and you think, well, I've made a lot of mistakes. I mean, how can I really be made clean from the blood of Jesus if I may keep making these dumb mistakes? It's a everyday decision to serve God. You may fail Saturday night, but now it's Sunday. Repent and go on. You may say, well, I failed all last year. I just failed God every day last year. It's a new year. It's a new day. We can always rely on God's grace and mercy and serve God more faithfully tomorrow than we did yesterday. Hey, that's fantastic news. Amen. Anybody? Is that good news? Is that good news? We can fail yesterday and serve God tomorrow like we should. That's fantastic news. And Judas did so many good things. And there's no bigger sinner than Jesus is a Savior. We should thank God every day that Jesus Christ is so full of grace and mercy that we can have our sins forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. All God asks is us to follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus today? I don't mean just say you are. I mean, are you following Jesus? Again, in John chapter 10, one of my favorite passages, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you following Jesus? Are you hearing the voice of the Savior? Now, maybe it is today that you are someone here who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is your invitation this morning. Obey the gospel. Hear God's word. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Make a change and be baptized into Christ for remission of sins, having confessed Christ as your Lord. You can do it this morning. Now, if you have not done that, don't really understand that, let us talk about that with you. Come forward. Let it be known that you want to study God's word together. And we're so thankful, by the way, for the studies going on right now in the church. So God bless you if you're undertaking a study of God's word as one who leads the study or one who's in the study. God bless you. The world will never be made worse by more Bible study. The world will never be made worse by more Bible study. It'll just be made better. Families will be made stronger. People will be made stronger. Individuals made stronger. Churches made stronger. Communities made stronger by more knowledge of God's word that God does through from heavenly wisdom as we live this life as God wants us to. Now, maybe that someone here this morning wants to obey the gospel. Maybe you want the prayers of the church, or maybe you want to repent of sin because you need to come home and be restored to faithful service. But if we can help you this morning, if we can help you, be forgiven like Judas was not because he turned away from God and would not repent. If we can help you, would you please come as we stand?